said, if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, what did he say? You'd be filled, right? Praise God. I'm hungry today. I'm thirsty for him, and I want more of him. Praise God. How many of you ate last week? Okay. But how many of you know you're not living on that meal right now? Okay. And praise God for last week's feeding and on the Word of God, but we need a fresh filling every day. We need to feed every day on the Word of God. Amen. Father, we thank you for this wonderful, glorious opportunity to be focused on you today. We set our hearts, we set our minds and our focus completely on Jesus today because he is why we're here. And Lord, we ask you to do a work in us today that will bring glory to your name, honor to your name, and lift us up to a new level today, Father. We ask in Jesus' name. All that agreed said, amen. Amen and amen and amen. Praise God. Hebrews chapter 12, we began a series a few weeks ago, and we're still on that today. I don't have a Mother's Day sermon, but this will affect all the mothers. Okay? Not that I wasn't open to it. But in Hebrews chapter 12, we're going to look here, and this is actually the New Living Translation. We've been talking about this subject called unshakable. And it says in verse 26 in Hebrews, the Apostle Paul said, when God spoke from Mount Sinai, his voice shook the earth, but now he makes another promise. Once again, I will shake not only the earth, but the heavens also. And this means that all of creation will be shaken and removed so that only unshakable things will remain. And since, I know I love this verse here, since we are receiving a kingdom that is unshakable, let us be thankful and please God by worshiping him with holy fear and awe. Now the earth, we've been talking about this, the earth, the political system, the economic system that we know in this earth has been pretty shaky in the last few years. How many of you know that?
Amen.
And if the Bible says that when men's hearts will fail them for fear for looking after the things that are coming upon the earth, mm-hmm. The good news is for the believers that we're not affected by the world's economy. As a believer in Christ, as a covenant believer in Jesus Christ, you're not subject to the world's economy. Amen? Well, how can you prove that, Brother Keith? Well, look at the Old Testament. That's a type and a shadow, right? We're living in the New Testament, which is better than the Old Testament. Amen?
Yeah.
Some people act like the Old Testament's better. No, the Bible says we have a better covenant established upon better promises in Hebrews 8, verse 11. Yeah. Glory to God. And in the Old Testament, we see Israel that was, they were not children of God, they were followers of God. Okay? They weren't sons and daughters like you and I are in the New Testament. And the scripture says that when they were in Egypt in captivity, the Bible says that in Goshen there was light, but in Egypt, which is right next side by side, there was darkness. And the Bible says that God made a clear distinction between the Israelites and the Egyptians. We would say it like this, the people of the world system and the people of God's covenant. Big difference, amen? And so what's happening in the world should not be happening in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're talking about, I've called this series called Unshakable. And so we began to see about one of the major things, how people are shaken, and it's primarily through words that they're hearing. Listen to me very carefully this morning, because the words that you're about to hear this morning will literally change your life. Mm-hmm. It's changed my life, it's changed my family's life, and it continues to do so. See, we're not just a religious organization. I despise that terminology. Mm-hmm. But we're the church of the living God. Amen. And we have the Spirit of God on the inside of us. The Bible says we're temples of the Holy Ghost. Amen? What happens in the world doesn't have to happen to us. We began to talk. If you go to 1 Samuel, if you would, 1 Samuel chapter 17, I want you to see this here. The primary way that we can be shaken as believers is through the words that we hear. Through the words that we hear. And we see that in 1 Samuel, we saw this just in review here in chapter 17, verses 10 and 11. It says that the Goliath, who was a enemy of God, an uncircumcised Philistine, he said this, I defy the armies of Israel today. Send me a man who will fight me. When Saul and the Israelites heard this, they were terrified and deeply what? They were shaken, weren't they? They were deeply shaken. Now, why were they shaken? Because of what? Words. They were deeply shaken because of words. And see, the words that we hear can either shake us or they can build our faith. Fear-filled words create a shaking on the inside of people. All right? Where faith-filled words will build you up and give you courage and give you strength. All right? Now, we know that Goliath is a type of the devil. But Goliath used words as an avenue to make the Israelites shake. He would come out there for 40 days. Every single day, he'd come out there and he'd say, I defy the armies of the living God. And he would curse Israel and all this kind of stuff. And the Bible says that all of Israel would shake in their boots. I mean, their knees had fellowship with one another. And they were afraid, right? This guy's 11 foot tall. He's a giant, okay? And he's just accusing the Israelites and putting fear in all of them. But the only person that understood covenant and out of all the Israelites at that point was David. Just a young shepherd boy, 16-year-old teenage boy. Don't tell me teenagers can't do something for God. Don't tell me young people can't do something for God. How many young people we have in here? Okay. How many young of heart we have in here, right? Okay, all right. Man, I'm telling you what. They that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Thank you, Lord. But we began to see that this was transpiring inside me as I was preparing this message, that the same avenue that the enemy uses to shake us through words or thoughts is the same avenue that we can use against him. And that's what we want to do. We're going to talk about this morning. We saw in Ezekiel, if you would turn over there, Ezekiel chapter 37. We saw some of this the last couple of weeks, and I really felt led to go back into this before, but we, in order to not be shaken, but to shake, how many of you want to intimidate the enemy? Amen. I do. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Somebody came to a minister years ago, and the Bible says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. The word flee means to run as if in terror. And this lady was all upset, and she told the preacher, she said, the only problem is I'm on the run and he's chasing me. Well, the reason is because of fear. Now, we see in Ezekiel chapter 37 that the Lord spoke to Ezekiel, who being a major prophet, he said in verse 3, and he said unto me, son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord, thou knowest. And he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them. Now notice that how do you prophesy? You what? You say. You speak. O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live, and I will lay sinews upon you, and bring you upon flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and I will put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. And so I prophesied as I was commanded, as I had prophesied, and there was, notice this, he prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, there was a shaking. Now, when you begin to prophesy over your circumstances of your life, you may not see the full manifestation yet. But there'll be a rattling, there'll be a shaking, there'll be some things going on. Okay? But notice what happens right here. Verse 8, when I behold, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them, and there was no breath in them. And he said unto me in verse 9, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds of breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. And so I prophesied it as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet an exceeding great army. Now, in case you're not aware of this, we've been talking about, he's talking about Israel coming, becoming a nation again. And we'll prove that out here. Verse 11, and he said, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off from our parts. Verse 12, therefore, prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, O my people, I will open your graves, and I will cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Praise God. Now, did that come to pass or what? Yes, it did. May 11th, 1948, Israel became a nation, and ever since that time, Israel has been coming back. Israelites, Jewish people, been coming back to Israel. Now, Israel, this isn't our subject today, but if you want to see God's timepiece and where we're at, you have to look at Israel. You have to look at Israel because they're in biblical prophecy. And that's why the enemy has tried to destroy them through the years. And even to this present day, there are countries that if they had the opportunity to press a button and to wipe them off the map, they would. But how many of you know they're not going to? Hallelujah. They're going to try to, but it's not going to happen because of biblical prophecy. Now, the concept that I want to share here again, we talked about this the last couple of times, is that we have to begin, if we're going to cause a shaking in the kingdom of darkness against the things of life that come against us, we need to learn to prophesy to our circumstances. Prophesy to our circumstances. And notice that he used the phrase, speak to these bones, talk to them, speak to them. All right? Now, how do you prophesy to your circumstances of your life? How many of you want to come up higher in your life? Okay? You want to come up in every area of your life. And the way that you do that is by speaking and prophesying to your situations. How many of you know you can prophesy to your checkbook and see change? I have many, many times, and it works. I'm telling you, it works. Amen? Prophesying to your physical body. Well, what do you mean, prophesy? Prophecy means to speak forth, to call forth. Now, listen very carefully. God has given you and me as believers the power to use words to work for us. The Scripture tells us very plainly in the book of Proverbs that death and life are in the power of the tongue, right? It doesn't say death and life are in the power of the devil or God. It says, no, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. And so notice that there's death and life are both in the power of the tongue. When you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life and you said, Jesus, come into my heart, forgive me my sins. There's no devil in hell that could hold you back. No demon in hell that could hold you back. You got born again, right? You came out of darkness into His marvelous light. You were translated out of the kingdom of darkness into His marvelous light. Hallelujah. And what did that? Words. You said, Jesus. Amen. And if you want help today, you call on Jesus. Not Muhammad. Jesus. Not Confucius. Jesus. He's the only one that can help you. He's the only one that will help you. All right? People call on these false gods and they're there all day long. No wonder why nothing happens, because they're dead. They're dead in a hole in the ground. Amen. But you go to Jesus' tomb, it's empty. He's been resurrected. He's been raised from the dead. Hallelujah. And so if you're going to see change in your life, I think that I'll be honest with you, I think every sermon should be a challenging message. If I don't challenge you, if the Holy Ghost doesn't challenge you today, it's not really a good message. But there ought to, every time we ought to come together, there ought to be a message that challenges us to say, boy, you know what? I need to brush up on that. I can go further in this thing. Praise God. And I'm telling you, you can begin to prophesy to your circumstances. You can prophesy to your body. Well, how do I do that? I'm glad you asked. The way that you do that is you begin to speak to your circumstances. You speak to your physical body. Now, if you go to Acts for a minute here, chapter 2, just two verses here in Acts chapter 2, and I want you to see this. You remember back, I'm so excited about this, back in the Old Testament, when God said to the Israelites, He says, every place that the sole of your feet treads upon, as far as land goes, He says, I will give you that land. He says, so all you got to do is you got to walk around every place the sole of your foot treads. He said, that I've given to you. Okay, they physically walked, all right? Now, in the New Testament, we don't do it with our feet. We do it with our mouth. Because every place that you tread with your mouth, if you can say it, you can have it. Amen? Oh, come on, brother, that sounds a little ridiculous. No, let me tell you something. You had the greatest miracle happen to you when you made Jesus the Lord of your life. And you said, Jesus, come into my life. There is no greater miracle than that. Amen. So if the confession of your mouth of Jesus Christ change your eternal destiny, how much more will your words affect the everyday affairs of your life? It changed the ultimate, your destiny. Are y'all with me this morning? Are y'all in the back? Y'all with me this morning? For those in the middle, y'all with me this morning? Okay, all right. Let's get this on Mother's Day, amen? That we can begin to prophesy. And then we see in Acts chapter 2, verse 17, and it says, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh." Everybody feel yourself. That's you. Say, that's me. God says, "I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men will dream dreams." I don't know about you, but I'm seeing visions. Amen. I'm a young man. And he says in verse 18, "And upon my servants and my handmaidens I will pour out of those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy." Prophecy simply means this: to speak God's word. Okay? Well, brother, do I have to wait till I feel like a goosebump or something like that to speak God's word? No, you don't. Now, sometimes the Holy Ghost will, he will inspire you to say things. There's no question about it. Make no mistake about it. The Holy Spirit will inspire you. And you've all, I'm sure, at some point in your life, you've been inspired to speak, inspired to say something. Let me tell you something. It's like Wigglesworth said, "If the Spirit doesn't stir me, I stir him." And you can actually stir up the gift of God. You can stir up even the Holy Ghost by speaking right words. Amen? And you lay hands on yourself. I say, "I prophesy divine health over this body in Jesus' name." You pull out your billfold and you prophesy, "I prophesy money into this wallet in Jesus' name." Amen? Amen. And you lay hands on your children or your grandchildren. Hello. Thought someone was behind me for a minute there. That'll light you up. Prophesy, and you speak to those children, and you say, "This is how it's going to be in my house." Amen. Now, you want to do something crazy and something ridiculous, and sometimes you got to do it behind closed doors. You know what I mean? Because if you try to beat the Holy Ghost into people, it ain't going to work. I'll tell you that right now. Okay, that'll just turn them off. Okay, but the place that you need to get really excited and really get boisterous was when no one's in the house. And you have your own personal revival in this house, in your house or your part, wherever you live. And you say, "This is the way it's going to be in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." Praise God. Let's go over to the New Testament again. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. And let's talk about this. How do we prophesy? How do we do this? How do we prophesy to the circumstances of our life? Listen, if my eternal destiny lies in what I'm saying, then I want to find out how I can change circumstances in my life and things that I'm dealing with. Amen? See, a lot of times, I'll be honest with you, as believers, and I've been just as guilty as anybody else, we put up with stuff instead of dealing with it. We permit certain things in our lives that we don't have to even put up with. Okay? Let me give you an example. The scripture says in Ecclesiastes that surely oppression will make a wise man mad. You know what that means? That when oppression comes knocking on your door, it says that if you're a wise person, it'll tick you off. Amen? Now, it's okay to be angry. It's how the Bible says, "Be angry and sin not." You can be angry and not sin. How many of you know Jesus was angry when he went into the temple and overturned the money changers? Yeah. But he wasn't sinning. He wasn't having a bad day. He wasn't having a hangover from the night before. Are you with me now? But there was a righteous indignation. And you can use that anger against the enemy, praise God, to turn the tables, turn the situation. Now, we saw this last week here. In Romans chapter 8, we just got into the edge of this last week, and we're talking about unshakable, and the way that you can shake the kingdom of darkness in your life and circumstances, change the circumstances in your life, is begin to prophesy to those things. Now, that's one of the signs that we just read about the last days, that God will pour out His Spirit upon His sons and His daughters. And He said that you'll prophesy, you'll speak for God. Praise God. Now, in Romans chapter 8, verse 31, we see the Scripture says here, what shall we say to these things? Can we say that together? What shall we say to these things? One more time. What shall we say to these things? We are to speak to things. Okay? So, brother, I thought that was just left for Jesus and deity and Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Now, Paul, by the inspiration of God, says here, what shall we say to these things? Here's what we're to say. If God be for us, who can be against us? Praise God. If God be for us, who can be against us? Have you ever found yourself in a situation where you just felt overtaken by the problem? You know what I mean? You just feel over. I mean, I always say this, the enemy sometimes likes to use the polyp effect. He doesn't just come with one thing at you. He comes with five different things at once. You got a problem in your finances, a problem at job, a problem in your body, a problem with the first and second teenager. You see? And it's like overwhelming sometimes. It comes at you and you're like, oh, I can maybe deal with one of these, but all these at once, I don't know about this. But that's how the enemy operates, all right? But here's what God says right here. That if, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Now, how in the world is that, people say, how in the world is that going to change my circumstance? Now, listen very carefully. Our job is to do what God says. We make a poor God. I make a poor God. We can never take God's place. But on the flip side of that, God cannot take our place. We have a place. In other words, we have a part, and God has a part. Okay? That's always the way it is in the kingdom of God. God has His part, which He always does, but then we have a part. Are you with me? Y'all getting this morning? We have a part, and we have to do our part. God will always do. God is always faithful to do His part, but we have to do our part. And He says that, if what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Now, our job is to speak what God says or prophesy what God says. And then it's the Lord's job to do the changes behind the scene. Okay? Now, I've talked to people through the years. We've been in the ministry almost 30 years now, you know. And you come across a lot of circumstance, a lot of individuals, and I can say that I'm not a novice necessarily. I'm still learning, but I'm not a novice at this anymore. But I'll tell you one thing, that I've seen people that when they get a hold of the Word of God, and I'm talking desperate situations, where they have a death report over their lives and things of this nature, and they begin to speak what God says about their circumstances instead of talking the problem. Amen? Hallelujah. And when you begin to speak, you know, because it's just human nature, honestly, to talk the problem with people, because there's a certain amount of comfort in that. You know what I mean? There's a certain amount of comfort in that. But that's going to get you very little. It's not going to get you very far at all. But you can go to God and you can begin to talk to Him about that situation here. You know what He's going to tell you? Son, speak my word. Speak what I've said. Say some things. Open your mouth. Begin to declare over your circumstance, over your body, whatever, what thus saith the Lord is. Okay? Well, He said, if God be for us, who can be against us? Say that. If God be for us, who can be against us? Now, as we see here, as we read on down here in 31, what shall we say to these things? Let's look at the things that He's talking about here again. I know that we went over, you say, Pastor, we talked about this last time. We're going to see it again, all right? He says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Verse 32, He that spared not His own Son, talking about the Father, but delivered Him up for us all, How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Did you get that?
Yes.
It said God did not spare his own son, but he delivered him up for us all. That's me. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Say all things.
All things.
Now, what's that talking about right there? He's saying here that God did not withhold his best when he gave you Jesus. What makes you think he's going to hold back anything else? How many of you here have ever bought a car before? Okay. Let me ask you, did the steering wheel come with it? Did the brake pedal come with it? Huh? Did the seat come with it? All things being equal, you know what I mean? We're not talking about buying a gutted car or something like that. We're talking about a normal car, all right? You always have some smart aleck that'll bring that up. You know, say, yeah, all right. But let me ask you a question. When you bought that car, did the steering wheel come with it? Of course it did. Did the brake and gas pedal come with it? Yeah. Did the seats come with it? Yes. All right. Well, that comes with the territory. When you buy a vehicle, that comes with it. Okay? Let me ask you this. I borrowed this from John Osteen years ago. He says, do you ever notice that when you buy a pair of shoes, the tongues come with it? When you get the Holy Ghost, the tongues come with it. Amen? But he that spared not, God did not spare his best. He said, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Now, what all things is he talking about right there? Everything that you need that pertains to life and godliness. Everything. That means your health. That was bought and paid for you. Did you know your divine health was bought and paid for through Jesus Christ? The Bible says that you have been bought with a price. You've been bought with a price. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which belong to God. Hallelujah. I got a hold of that when I was in the hospital, when the devil attacked me in December at our Christmas service right before that. You know, God illuminated that scripture to me. He said, Keith, you've been bought with a price. And it says, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which belong to God. See, my body belongs to God, not just my spirit. This body, yeah, this body has been bought and paid for through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I'm to glorify Him. And I can't glorify God in my body if I'm full of sickness or disease. Okay? And so I began to prophesy to myself. I began to speak to myself, say, hey, my body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. I've been bought with a price. I will not tolerate sickness or disease in my physical body. Jesus paid that price for me. Praise God. I don't know about you, this excites me. Good news is exciting. There's enough bad news out there. All you can do is turn the 6 o'clock news on. You hear a bunch of bad news. I'm serious. You ever notice? All you'll hear is bad news on the 5 o'clock. Now it's around the clock. You're going to hear bad news, bad news. You turn on, some of the worst news is our local stations here. You're going to hear who just got shot, who was run over, whose house caught on fire? Who's losing their jobs? What next plague is coming to Pittsburgh? You know what? I mean, do you ever stop and analyze? I mean, I put the news on one time. This is years ago. And I actually wrote it down. Everything that they said was what the devil was doing. The devil comes to rob, to kill, and to destroy in John 10:10. The thief, the devil, comes not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And everything that they were saying was somebody was killed, somebody stole from somebody, somebody was losing their job. Then the weather guy came on and talked about, you know, that flu season's coming. And every single one of those things that they were decreeing and they were prophesying these things are meant to put fear. That's why good news doesn't sell. They should call it the 6 o'clock bad news. You know what I'm talking about? You say, well, brother, does that mean we should never read our newspaper? I'm not saying that, but guard your heart. Guard your ears. Because if all we do is feed on the trash that's happening, all they're doing is taking select certain... There's something over here that happened bad. They're pulling that out. Something over here, they pull that out. Then they put it together and call it news. But if we just feed on that information, we just feed on that, that's going to put fear on the inside of us. And if we're going to be effective in the kingdom of God, we cannot be full of fear.
Amen.
Amen? Yeah. We're not going to be effective if we're full of fear. We have to be full of faith. How do you do that? You start changing the information that you're receiving. I'm telling you, each day you download some word inside your heart. I'm telling you what, instead of putting that radio on when you're driving to work and just hearing a bunch of nothing, put some teaching tapes on. Put some good word on. Plug it into your tape player. You put on that word and you start listening to the word of God that's going to change your life. And as you're downloading that word, that life on the inside of you, it's going to change those outward circumstances in your life. Amen? Well, let's read on here. Verse 34 of Romans chapter 8 says, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather is risen again, is even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us. Notice it says, who shall separate us from the love of God, or Christ? Now here's the things that he was talking about. What should we say to these things? He said, shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine or lack, or nakedness or trouble or sword. And he says, as it is written, for thy sake, we're killed all the day long. We're accounted, not literally, but we're accounted as sheep for the slaughter. But that, notice in verse 37, here's another word that we can speak. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Hallelujah. Say, I'm more than a conqueror.
More than a conqueror.
Through him.
Through
him. That loved me. See, when you receive God's love, and I believe God loves me unconditionally. We can all come to that place because of God's love. That's why he did this. He made provision for you and I. Now, guys, what difference would it mean if God just stayed up in heaven and he says, world, I love you. I care for you, but he never did anything for us. Well, that wouldn't be love, would it? No, the Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved that he what?
Gave.
He gave. God loved that he did something for us. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? My Lord God, you and I have an inheritance that's way beyond our wildest dreams and imaginations. That's reserved in heaven for us now on this earth. Not just when you die and go to heaven. Say, brother, I know when I get there, I'll have this, I'll have that. That's true. That's true. But you do not have to wait to die to go to heaven to receive good things in this life. I was thinking about this morning. Lynn and I, we were in the hallway praying right before the service here today, and I was just sharing the same thing with her. That, remember Paul said, he goes, I don't frustrate the grace of God. How do we frustrate the grace of God? By not receiving what he died that we could have. In other words, suffering needlessly when we can have our inheritance of what Jesus died that we could have. Paul says, he says that he hath given to us all things that pertain to this natural life and this godly life. He's given us all things already.
Amen.
Everything. Well, Pastor, it could have fooled me. It sure don't look like it. My bank account says negative. You know what I'm saying? But listen, you can begin to change those circumstances by saying what God says about you. See, it's very simple. It's very simple. If you don't like what you see in your life, start changing what you're saying. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. We'll conclude with this again. Go over to Mark chapter 11, if you would again here, and we'll conclude here today. Thank you, Jesus. Years ago, I remember, it's probably been close to 20 years ago, we had some circumstances mounted up against us in our lives and our family. The kids were small. And I'm telling you, without going into great detail, you know, my mom knows the story, but, you know, we went through some horrific times in different areas of our lives, financially, especially financially, and different things that we're experiencing. And my wife, she started getting a hold. And you know, sometimes when you face, when the pressure's on in your life, you know that you might know in your heart, I need to go to the Word of God about this. I need to pray about this. But for some reason, sometimes you can be so consumed with the problems that it's like you just take a step back and you're not really aggressive to get in to the things that are really going to help you. That's where we were. That's where I was. And I just felt overwhelmed with things and, you know, and creditors are coming after us and all kind of stuff, nasty stuff, you know what I mean? And my wife, she started, you know, because we came out of Bible school. We went to Bible school and a good Bible school for sure. And she got desperate. Now, me being the man of the house at that time, you know, I just got overwhelmed with this thing. I started developing, felt like an ulcer in my stomach because of fear and worry and the things that were coming against me. And I'll tell you what, thank God for a good Holy Ghost-filled Word wife. She got in there tooth and toenail, and I was sharing this with her the other night, and she got a hold of the things, I mean, just like a bulldog tenacity, and she said, you know what? We're not going to, in essence, she was saying, we're not going to let this thing overthrow us. We're going to get a hold of God. And so we pulled out those tapes. We started listening to those broadcasts. And little by little, things started to change. And that was when I started to get a hold. Now, it's interesting because you can know to do something but not even do it. I knew to speak the Word of God, and guess what? I wasn't doing it. I knew to prophesy to the circumstances, but you know what? I was so overcome by the problems, I wasn't doing that. Praise God, it didn't stay there. And so I got together. It's on my iPad now, but I used to have a piece of paper. And I came up with some biblical confessions about myself and about my body, about my marriage, about my church, about our finances, about every area of our lives. And I began to get into my prayer closet up there where no one could see me except God. And I began to speak those things every single day, every chance that I had, and speak those things and speak those things. And some of it seemed almost like a fairy tale because I wrote it down. I think, would this ever come to pass? Well, maybe 1,000 years from now, maybe. Are you with me now? But I'm telling you, I just began to get in there, and it's a good thing to be desperate in the right sense. Now, some people get desperate in the world, and they turn to the world. Yeah. That's the wrong. The world will never help you. It will only lead you down the wrong path. They'll say, here, have a glass of vodka. That'll help you. No, that'll kill you. Have this pill. This will help you. No, that'll kill you. All right? We're talking about going not to the world for help. We're going to God for help. And when we go for the Word, we go to the Word of God, and we get hungry for the Word of God. And that's when things begin to, when we get desperate for those things, that's when things will begin to turn around. Hallelujah. Now listen, as you begin to prophesy and speak, I'm talking even 5 minutes a day starting out. Just taking a few scriptures. If God be for me, who can be against me? By His stripes, I am healed. And you just take even a few, 5, 6 scriptures. That's all it takes. You begin to say that driving down the street, going to work, you're coming home from work. Everybody has time to do that. Do you realize how much time we waste if we count it up? We waste a lot of time sometimes. But we can redeem the time. We can begin to speak some things. Well, I wrote down some things, and I began to speak, and I began to prophesy about things in my life that I wanted to see happen. Boy, at first it didn't look like nothing was going to happen. It looked like that was so far in the future, it was like Star Wars or something. You know what I'm saying? It looked so far down the road. But I'm telling you, as I started speaking what his Word says, just taking words and speaking words like you and I have, little by little, I started seeing things come to pass. Can I tell you a little secret? Remember Israel when they possessed the promised land? The scripture tells us that they did it little by little. They didn't just one day walk in there and say, "Ooh, look, the promised land, we are, we have arrived here." You know how they, I did some research on it. You know how they actually possessed the promised land? God says, "I've given you the land, but you've got to go possess it." He said, God said to Moses, he says, "I've given you the land. I've given the Israelites the promised land. You go possess it." Now, you know how they did that? They had almost like what they would call like, you know, these yard markers in a football game. You know, that's where they move the markers. And what they would do is they would push the enemy back inch by inch. And they would put that marker in there. And they would push them back a little more, put that marker in there. And they would just gain territory little by little. Before you know it, they had the whole territory. We have the impression that one day they just went in there and said, "It's all ours. We have it right now." Now, technically, it belonged to them. God promised it to them, but they had to do the possessing. Hallelujah. So don't be discouraged if you're just seeing a little bit of progress. Well, a little is better than nothing. Okay? And if you're speaking, you have a headache, you know, and you speak to that thing, well, and it's half the headache that you have, maybe it's a little bit less, hey, you're making progress. Don't be discouraged. Do not be discouraged, folks, if you're just seeing a little bit of progress. If you're seeing a little bit of progress, that's all that matters. Because the Lord's working. Amen. You know, I really feel led to say this right now. For those that are here, give God an opportunity to move in your life today. Okay? Listen, it's not important where you're at in Christ. It's what direction you're going. You may think today, "Man, my life's a mess. I feel so far behind spiritually. I don't even read my Bible anymore." Hey, that's okay. It's not where you're at. It's which direction are you going. Yeah. Amen. If you're on the right road, if you're on the right path, yeah, you will get where you need to go. Okay? Amen. So don't be discouraged. Because the enemy will try to have you comparing yourself to other people in the church. Yeah. He'll say, "Oh, man, they really got their act together. You know, look at that family, you know, and they just have everything given to them. Everything's just handed to them on a platter." The devil will say things like that. Because he'll try to make it look like everybody has it so much easier than you have. That's not true. We all have our different issues that we have to deal with. How many know what I'm talking about? Okay? Praise God. Remember in Romans, it says, "What shall we say to these things?" Well, listen, people say things, but it's the wrong thing sometimes. People say, "You know, I don't have any friends. I don't have any friends." You're saying something, but you're saying the wrong thing. Hear me out. You're saying something, but you're saying the wrong thing. "I don't have any friends. I don't have any friends." In other words, you're prophesying that now. You don't even realize it, but people prophesy, "I don't have any friends." How do you change that around? You begin to say, "I have so many friends." Now you're looking around. You don't see one there. You don't see one there. You look behind. You don't see anybody. And you might feel lonely. Because the enemy likes to use loneliness to isolate you. But let me tell you something. There is someone that cares about you. The Father God cares about you. Jesus cares about you. We care about you. This church cares about you. All right? So if people get on that level and they say, "You know, I don't have any friends." Start changing that. Say, "I have so many friends." Amen? I have so many friends. Now the devil will say, "You're lying about that." No, you're prophesying to your future. You're prophesying to your future. Folks, if you believe this, it would make you smile this morning. It wouldn't put a doggone frown on your face. You would smile about it, right? Huh? Do you think I'm telling you a fairy tale this morning? This stuff works. The Word of God works. Amen. I confess on a regular basis, "Lord, I thank you that we have favor everywhere we go." Amen. Favor. The Bible says that in Psalm 5:11, it says the Lord will encompass the righteous about with favor like a shield. Mm-hmm. What's favor? In other words, people will treat you good everywhere you go. Yes. Amen? And you sow favor, you reap favor. And I see constantly manifestations of favor everywhere I go. Favor with people. We were at a place yesterday, Josh and I, he was picking out something for his mama. You know? Yeah. Good move, amen. Amen. And I said, boy, you honor your mom. I'll tell you what, God will honor you. You know, and I mean, there's no perfect mom, but I'm telling you something. You need to show honor. Show honor and show respect. And, this lady was helping us, you know, with some stuff. And she goes, do you have a coupon for any of this stuff, you know? Because, you know, I said, no. She goes, shh, don't tell anybody. She goes, I'm going to go out to my car. I have a really good coupon out there. I'm going to give it to you, but don't tell anybody. I said, no, we won't. We won't. And she runs out there. She comes back in. It was $20 off something, you know. Well, that's $20, you know what I mean? Now, she didn't have to do that. We weren't asking her to do that. This happens all the time. People, if you show, here's the thing, when you sow kindness, you reap kindness. And you sow favor, you reap favor. That's just a spiritual law. When you show kindness to people, I'm telling you, God will see to it that people will show you kindness. They will bend over backwards to do good things for you. I don't have time all this morning to share a lot of these different things. They might seem like small things, but it happens all the time. I go into a mall somewhere, and there's tons of cars there. And I say, Father, I claim a close parking spot. Amen. And I've gone in there before when you just circle and circle and circle, and you're like, will someone please leave? You know what I mean? You ever do that before? Well, hallelujah. Father, I claim a close parking space. Sure enough, I pull around, and there's one. There's a guy pulling out right there. There it is right there. It's not in the handicap zone either. I'm not against that. You know, if you have to use it, that's fine. That's fine. But why am I saying that? Because these things belong to you as children of God. Favor belongs to you. Blessing belongs to you. Divine health belongs to you. Provision belongs to you. We do not, Jesus took the struggle out of this so we don't have to struggle and strain and sweat. Now, this might step on a few toes, but I'm going to say it anyway. Sometimes people think when it comes to prosperity, you know, that's a biblical word. It's all through the scripture, prosperity. It means abundant supply. Okay? And biblical prosperity doesn't just mean dollar signs. That's what people, Americans, see, just dollar signs. That's part of it. That's only part of the pie, piece of the pie here. God's definition of prosperity is financial increase, wealth, increase in your physical body of health, favor, blessing, wisdom. All these things belong to us in Christ Jesus. And if Jesus died that I might have that, then I don't want to frustrate the grace of God. I'm taking that right now in Jesus' name. Just like the prodigal son, he had an inheritance, but he didn't get it till he asked. He asked and he got the inheritance. You have an inheritance right now that belongs to you. I'm telling you, you don't have to wait for that rich uncle to die or that parent or whoever so you get your inheritance. Your elder brother, Jesus, died already for you, raised from the dead to impart to you the will, so he made sure that it comes to pass in your life. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know if I'm going to have time to read the scripture today. Okay? Mark chapter 11. You said it. This ain't going to take long, I guarantee it. Okay, but Mark chapter 11, we saw this and we'll conclude here, but Mark 11, 12, it says that on the mar, when they were come from Bethany, Jesus was hungry. Verse 13, and seeing the fig tree afar off having leaves, he came if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter. And his disciples heard it. Now, notice it says there that, where is that phrase right there? Verse 14, Jesus answered and said unto it. Unto what? The fig tree, right? Now, did the fig tree ask him a question? Because, you know, if I'm going to answer you in a conversation, a communication, if I'm going to answer you, that means you asked me something, right? That's what I'm trying to get here, is Jesus answered the fig tree. So, in other words, the fig tree must have had a voice, not like with what we speak with our lips, but there was communication. I see a lot of communication is what we call non-verbal communication. Nowadays on the news channels, you know, now they have these people that study body language. And they say, well, they said this, but here's what they really said. Body language, right? And there was words that were being communicated through this fig tree. And the fig tree was saying, hey, come over here. I have figs on me. Because here's what happened. Those fig trees that retained their leaves, and this different kind of fig trees, I found this out, in Israel, if they retained their leaves at this time of the year, there should have been fruit with the leaves. Do you think Jesus was deceived by the fig tree? Absolutely not. Because he went over there happily. He was looking forward to grabbing some figs off this tree. But when he got to the fig tree, all it had was a show of leaves and no fruit. Sounds like a hypocrite tree to me. It had a show of fruit, but all it had was a bunch of leaves. Folks, you can have your bumper stickers and t-shirts and everything else, but it's the fruit that's coming out of us that really matters, and namely the fruit of the love of God. You know what's going to change this world? Is the love of God that's on the inside of us, showing unconditional love towards people. And really loving. I mean, just loving people. Okay? I'm not talking that hippie style love. I'm talking about, you know, where you just, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. You just show kindness and you show love. This world is so lacking in the kindness of people. I'm telling you, this world is mean. Mean-spirited, the world as it is. And there are some Christians, not in this church, that are just mean-spirited. They've got a spirit, but it's the wrong spirit. You know what I mean? But let me tell you something. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, kindness, patience. All those fruits have been deposited on the inside of you. Praise the Lord. But notice that Jesus in verse 14 in conclusion said, Jesus answered and said unto the tree, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter, and his disciples heard it. So in other words, he didn't do this in private. Jesus went up to this tree. Let's say this is the fig tree here. Use your imagination now. He's looking for figs. There ain't none there. He says, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter. And he walked away. You know as well as I do that the disciples, plural, are all standing there saying, that's interesting. Now he's talking to trees. Maybe because he prayed all night long. Maybe he's a little delirious right now. But here's what happened here. Look, in verse 20. And in the morning, say the next day.
Next day.
And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Interesting. Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. And then he goes on to explain how faith works. Okay. But this is interesting because Peter evidently was looking for something here, because when Jesus cursed the fig tree, now he didn't use a four-letter word on the fig tree. He didn't say, you blankety blank, you know. It said he cursed the fig tree. What does that mean? The biblical definition of a curse is to speak negative over. When you speak negative over yourself or your body or your children, and you speak negative over them, you're actually cursing them. Well, brother, I didn't know I was doing that. Well, the Word of God will illuminate these things, because we've all been there and done that. Jesus cursed the fig tree. But look, there was no immediate change from the natural. They couldn't see anything when he said that. But the next day, when they came by, and they're taking the trail back in reverse. They're going back the same way, just in reverse. And Peter said, look, Jesus, that fig tree that you cursed is withered up. Notice this, from the roots. And that's why Jesus immediately began to say, hey, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith, what shall we say to these things? He shall have whatsoever he saith. Didn't Jesus say that? Look at that, verse 22. And Jesus answered and said, have faith in God, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Now notice the phrase, whosoever shall, verse 23, say unto this mountain, be thou removed. What did Jesus? He spoke words to that fig tree. He said, no man's going to eat fruit of thee hereafter again. I understand that, Pastor Keith. But see, that's Jesus. He could do that. He could talk to legs. He could talk to trees. And he could talk to storms. But little old me, no, that's where we're wrong. Jesus didn't say, this is only for deity. Don't try this at home. He didn't say this. He said, whosoever. What's the definition of a whosoever? Everybody won't, anybody can, and somebody will. Everybody won't, anybody can, somebody will. Jesus said, whoever shall believeth on him shall not perish but have everlasting life. I'm a whosoever. How about you? Say, I'm a whosoever. He didn't say anything about having great faith here. He's just talking about open your mouth and speak. For Pete's sake, we teach our dog to speak. For a little piece of morsel or something, you know what I mean? Speak now. Man, if a dog can speak, if a parrot can speak, then I can speak. Amen. And all we got to do is learn how to speak what God says. And if we speak what God says, if we speak what he says, we'll have what he says. Praise God. Amen. This had nothing to do with Mother's Day, but I'll tell you what, I'm glad I came today. Amen. Folks, we're not just in church, we're in school. We're in training. Part of the vision that we have for our church, not the only thing, but a major part of the vision for our church, is to teach and to train the believers to become skilled in the word of righteousness. Amen. To teach and to train believers to become skilled in the word of righteousness, to grow up in Christ, to know what belongs to you, to grow into full maturity in Christ and to change the world around you, to change people around you. Bless the Lord. That's why we exist. That's why we're here. Amen? Amen. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Can you change? How many of you here, just a quick hand show without asking anybody, but how many of you here, there's some things in your life you want to see turn around? Turn around. It's turnaround time. Okay? Praise God. Every head bowed, every eye closed for a minute here. Praise you, Jesus. You're obviously here this morning. No one looking around. This is just between you and the Lord today. And you say, Pastor, I hear what you're saying today, and I need a turnaround in my life. I've messed up in my life, and there's some definite problems and issues in my life that I need to see a turnaround in my life. Now, the good news is today is that the Lord's not asking you to do that on your own strength. He's not asking you to do it in your own power. He is simply inviting you today to hook up with Him. And you can do that by just sitting right there in your seat, by just saying yes to Jesus. I want you to help me, Lord. I need you to help me. I need you to strengthen me so I can do this. I can't do this on my own. The Lord never intended you and I do this on our own strength. Never. Because we can't. We cannot. I cannot do things in my own strength. I need the strength of God to help me. This is the greatest place you could ever be, in a place where, in one sense, you feel so weak in the natural. And that's good. That's good because we're not looking to our own strength. We're looking to God who is... There's no lack of strength. His arm is not short that it cannot save it. His strength is not limited. You're talking about an unlimitable, if I said that right, Probably not, but you know what I'm saying. But there, he's unlimited in his strength for you. Now, with your uplifted hand today, this is just between you and God. I'm not calling you forth. I'm not going to embarrass you. This is simply between you and God this morning. And you want Jesus to help you in your situation right now. Would you just lift your hand up, please? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Now, here's what I'd like to do. I want to pray with you right now. Just say this out loud. Yes. Good, sweetheart.
I just want to say,
just do it.
You know, we all have different things we struggle with in our lives.
Yeah.
And there was an issue in my life I was struggling with. And what came to me was when Peter was, you know, he wanted to walk towards Jesus on top of the water, which was really cool. And so Jesus had come. So Peter started to walk towards the Lord.
Yes.
And then he starts sinking because he starts looking around him. He's like, man, you know. So he gets in fear and he starts to sink. You know, all he said to Jesus was, help me, Lord. And Jesus just...
Yes.
You know what I mean? It had nothing to do with him. He was crying out for help. You know, so God's not putting some, rough standard on any of us. Thank God, you know? Amen. We're always good. I think he likes being needed as a Savior.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, so he's like, you know, Lord, help me. Yes. Help me. Have you ever been there? Lord, help me. Amen. Well, praise God. That's what we have a Savior for. So I think sometimes we think we get beyond it. You think we have this confession thing down and, you know, praying in the Spirit, you know, honest to God. Sometimes we just need to say, Lord Jesus, help me. And I believe he delights in that.
Yes, yes. Amen. Couldn't have been said any better this morning. Amen. And that's what we're going to thank you for sharing that. Say this after me. Close your eyes. Now, I'm telling you, when you pray this, the Spirit of God is going to help you and he's going to come. Oh, thank you for that, Lord. Say, I come to you, Lord.
You
said in your word that if I come to you, you would in no wise cast me out. I boldly come to you, asking you for your grace to help in the time of need.
Right now,
I say yes to Jesus.
Yes to his strength.
Yes to his ability.
Yes to his ability.
To put me over.
In this current situation.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Now, Lord, everyone that prayed right now, they're very, very important to you. Everyone here, Father, is extremely important to you because of your great love and your great mercy. Now, Lord, I thank you that we here in this building, in this church, in this facility, all of us here, from this moment forward, we will experience a new power, a new grace, a new strength, a new ability because you're now helping us in a way that we've not known. And I thank you for that, sir. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Now say this with me. If God be for me,
nothing
can be against me.
Yes.
Amen. Praise God.